Please be seated. Let us all say amen. Very powerful song, because it talks about following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm learning to really follow him. There are some things you got to give up on this time side of life. And sometimes it's even some of the ones that you love. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. Want to welcome those of you that are visiting here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ. Want you to know that you are an honored guest. And we hope and pray something can be said that'll cause you to think about your soul salvation. Once again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to each and every one that is here, that is a mother. Want to encourage you to have a blessed day as the day goes through. But I do have some words of encouragement for the children of the mothers. I want to encourage you and help you to understand the importance of not just one day out of a year, but every single day of your life. You ought to first and foremost learn how to appreciate your mama. Amen. Amen. You need to also learn how to reverence your mama. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Come on, young folk. I got this. This little bit is for you. This ain't part of the lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing. You need to also learn how to honor your mom. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and round about verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that you might live long upon the earth. So I want to encourage our young folks, our children, to honor them, and most important, obey them. Amen. Amen. Whether it might be right or wrong, if it's wrong, tell them they're wrong, but you obey them. Amen. Amen. Just not today, but every single day. And as you honor and obey them, I want to encourage you to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to care for them. Amen. I know that's something we don't like to talk about because I'm young and mama going to be around forever. That ain't true. That ain't true. I want to encourage you as young people, whether you are taking care of your mama's mama or your mama, learn and prepare yourself to take care of them. And why do I say that? Because Jesus understood the importance of his mother. He understood the importance to make sure that his mother is taken care of. As he hung on the cross between two twilights, I'm reminded that there are some things that Jesus said in reference to his mother. In John chapter 19 and round about verse number 25, the Bible says, now there stood by Jesus at the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary and the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, and don't miss that. Don't miss that, because when you stand in need and there's no other brother or sister to take care of you, you become my mother. I want you to listen to this. Because we always talk about Mother's Day, and you know how we get all these cars and all this fancy stuff, but we don't stop and think about why are we doing what we're doing. Jesus is showing an example in the midst of his trials and his tribulation as he hangs between two twilights. It's not about him. It's about keeping his Father's commandments. And in the process of keeping his Father's commandments, Jesus is not worried about him. He's worried about his mother. And I've learned that mamas will be there when daddies won't. Amen, Walls. Amen. And so in the midst of this, Jesus is concerned about his mother. And you know, and this is pretty powerful because we're all members of the body of Christ, right? Amen. We have some mothers in the church. We have some fathers in the church. And as disciples of the body of Christ, it's our job to understand our role and our responsibility. But I think we've shucked that responsibility, that role, to secular world. Amen. This ain't costing you nothing. This ain't part of the lesson either. But Jesus, as he hangs there, and as his disciple is standing by the cross, listen to what he says. He says, his disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said unto the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Yeah, Mother's Day is very important. And why? Because we need to honor them as well as our fathers. But Jesus here had a concern for his mother, like you and I should have a concern for one another. And I'm learning that when you honor your mother and your father, you can live long up on the earth. But I don't want this day to focus on the mother. I want you to know this is the Lord's day. Psalms 118 and round about verse number 24, the psalmist says, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It just so happened, mother, you're going to get a little extra on the day. But really, this day is about serving God and the will of his father. And so as we talk about today, I want to encourage each and every one of us to understand that God has called us for a purpose. And that purpose is not for yourself, but that purpose is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In our lesson text in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Jesus here finds his disciples, and he tells his disciples, follow me. Follow me. And like most disciples and like most people, we always got something that goes before the Lord. Amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it. I'll amen it myself. And so Jesus here asked them to follow them. One of them say, Lord, I got some folk in my house. I can't follow you right now. Then another one said, well, you know, I just lost somebody, and I need to go bury them. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And don't miss that. You can be alive and dead at the same time. Because when it comes to doing the will of the Father, nothing or no one should ever stop us from doing his will. And so as we look at this lesson text this morning, you might want to buckle up, because it might get a little rough in here. Because as I looked at this text and as I looked at my situation, Matt and I repented all day yesterday. You know why? Because we take for granted what God has blessed us with. Ran into a family yesterday that had absolutely nothing. I had a sleepless night last night. I don't know about you. I had a sleepless night. Three kids. Husband is a little disabled. Sleeping on air mattress. Nothing in the house at all. Oh, yeah. That only resonates for a little while. After a while, you forget all about it. Amen. I want to show you this morning that in this text here, Jesus is calling his disciples to work. He's calling his disciples. You don't need to worry about anything on this time side of life, but whether or not you're going to do my Father's will. And you know, and it's difficult because God's will always interferes with our will. Somebody say amen if you can. It always interferes. But who is really the author and finisher of your life? If it's Jesus, then my will ought to not supersede his will. His will ought to be first and foremost. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 6 and verse number 38. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I have a job. I have a mission. I have a responsibility. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. But we're so smart, we got night shifts. I want you to know that when you close your eyes, ain't no night shift in heaven. Ain't no night shift in the grave. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 10, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that's done in the body. I don't know about you. I fall short. I repent. Amen. Why? Because I understand my responsibility, not so much as a gospel preacher. I understand my responsibility as a child of God. Amen. And I wished I could have brought my class out here to this class this morning. and let you hear some stuff that I heard this morning. But that's another story for another time. Church, either we're making the difference in the lives of those we come in contact with, or we're hindering individuals, and you may not even know it. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself. But we're so busy examining everything but ourselves. That don't cost you nothing either. As we look at this text this morning, I want to give you a title. He can do what no one else can do. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that God can do some things that no one else can do. And the reason I know he can do it is whether or not you really trust him, whether or not you really depend on him, and whether or not you can really follow him. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he faced death, the Bible said he prayed 3 times. And as he prayed, the Bible said his sweat became like drops of blood. And he said in one of the Gospels, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And then one of the other Gospels said, Jesus, when he came to that point, he says, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. No, for this reason, I was born. Do you not know that when you went in that watery grave, you were born to die for him? Amen. And you said that you would do everything you can for him. Amen. Remember what I told you a couple weeks ago? You doing it? If not, you know the story. Amen. In this text here, I want to show you that in the midst of everything that goes on, he can do what nobody else can do. And I'm going to raise a couple of questions here straight out of the text. The Bible says in verse number 23, and when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Boy, how many of us want to follow Jesus? As long as it's comfortable, Lord, I'll follow you. As long as I don't have to put something before me, I will. Y'all quiet this morning. Oh, don't worry, it's already been by my toes. You're just getting the residual of what I've already realized that I have not been doing and what I need to do more of. See, I don't know about you. I don't lie to me. I stopped lying to myself a long time ago. That's right. I know who I am. I'm a child of God, saved by the grace of God, knowing that I'm subject to sin, knowing that I'll fall into sin, but I have one confidence to know that in the midst of that sin, I don't have to stay there. I can repent and get back on the right track. And I'm learning that as long as I stay with what thus saith the Lord, I'm going to be all right. I don't know about you. I know which way I'm headed when life is over with. I'm going to paradise to be with my Lord. And so, therefore, I'm going to live my life the way he requires. What about other folks? What about them? I've gotten to the point that I love you, I care for you, but every man must work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, verse 13 says, for it is God that worketh in you. See, God don't go to work in you until you get busy doing what he says. And I'm learning, when you think you're doing something and you ain't, who you lying to? Nobody but yourself. So in this text here, the Bible says Jesus enters into the ship. And as he enters into the ship, everybody wants to follow him. Boy, Jesus got some good stuff. And you know something? When things are going good, boy, don't you say I'm a good Christian. Boy, I'm blessed. But boy, when all hell break loose, do you still hold to that integrity of how good God really is? Oh, it's easy to say, yeah. But when that rubber meets the road, it's a totally different story. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 24, and behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Don't miss that. How many of us, Jesus is asleep in our everyday life? I want you to show you something. Say that when you know who's in control of life, when you know who's in control of everything that goes on in the life, Jesus, go on and get you some rest. Because I know you got it. Y'all don't hear me this morning. In the midst of trials and tribulations, Jesus, take your rest. Because I know that nothing moves, nothing happens without your say-so. Oh, don't look at me funny. Colossians chapter 1, I believe, around about verse number 16. All things are made by him and for him. So if I'm made by him, my purpose is for him. Amen. So Jesus, go and get you some rest. I'm not worried about the waves. I'm not worried about the seas. Why? You command me. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I want you to see, why am I getting excited? Because, church, I believe what I preach. I don't know about you. I believe what I have obeyed. When I look at texts like this and I look at the disciples, I can really relate to them. Yeah. Amen. Why? How many of us are fearful? You don't have to say something. You don't have to raise your hand, because I know. You know that I know. You know that I know that God knows that you know that I know, right?
Right.
You don't have to raise your hand. But in this text here, I want you to see the disciples, and I want you to see their mindset, their attitude. It's just like yours and mine if we don't know who's on board. The Bible says he went to sleep. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and woke him up. Some of us need to wake Jesus up in our lives. Amen. And I'm learning, when you wake him up, you better be ready to serve. Maybe that's why he's asleep, huh? He's asleep because we really don't want to serve. Y'all looking at me funny. I'll talk to this wall back here. I want you to see this morning that the disciples were fearful, but they had sense. Don't miss that. How many of us are fearful Jesus is asleep in our life and we ain't got sense enough to wake him up? The Bible says, and they went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? That's a message within itself. I've never seen so many scared people in all the days of my life. And I can say that because I'm about 65, soon will be 66. I can say that. We don't trust nobody. We don't have confidence in nothing. Why are we so fearful? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus is asleep in our lives. Jesus said, fear not him who can destroy both body and soul and have nothing else to do with it. But I tell you who you ought to fear. You ought to fear God. Why? Because he has the power to kill both body and soul and then cast it into hell. That's who you ought to fear.
Right.
Why is his disciples so fearful? Because they see the waves.
Right.
Oh, how many of y'all got some waves in your life? Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. Rest of y'all going back to sleep. I mean, you got some trials and tribulation. The waves are in the boat, and the boat is overflowing. Wake up, Jesus! And I guarantee you, he'll take care of everything else. The disciples here got sense enough to know that if we're going to perish, we need to wake up the man.
That's right.
But they still don't understand who they got on board. They don't understand. It's just like you and I. We don't understand who controls our life. Because if we did, we would not worry about if he sleep. He would be awake in our lives. So when the storms and of trials and tribulations come upon us, we'd be like the old California palm. Oh, that's all we do. That's right. Why? Because we know who's in control. And see, but see, if he's asleep in your life, you'll be just like the disciples. They are fearful. And how do I know? Because Jesus says, why are you so fearful? You don't understand who I am. Because if you understood who I am, you wouldn't even worry about the waves. You wouldn't even worry about whether or not the boat can float. Because guess what? I can walk on the water. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. See, when you know who's in control of your life, you don't worry about the storms. They got the master of the storms. And they wear the boat up with water. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know about you. When I read texts like this, it validates my belief that no matter what transpires, if I serve him the way he requires, he's always there for me. The Bible goes on to say, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. Oh, don't miss that. Don't miss that. You can have absolutely nothing. And I can testify yesterday. I went to that house. Boy, I felt bad. But when he got to talking about Jesus and how Jesus has blessed them to be on this time side of life, have got absolutely nothing, but his house is in order and his children are happy. I repented, Lord, forgive me. Why? Because sometimes we forget that life is not consist of the things that you have, but it's whether or not you have the right relationship with God. The Bible says he rebukes the wind and the rain and the storm and the seas, and there was a great calm. 27. That's got our name written all over it. But the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? That's who I serve. I don't know who you serve, but I serve the man that is able to quiet every storm in my life. Amen. The question is he awake or is he asleep? Because if he's awake, you don't have to worry about the storm. But if he's asleep, you ought to be fearful. You need to wake him up. He can do what no one else can do. Jesus tells his disciples to follow him. And in following him, Jesus wants them to be confident and assured that nothing or no one can harm them as long as they follow him. Very powerful. Because when you and I follow him, nothing can control us or hinder us in our Christian walk. Matter of fact, when we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 5, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our iniquity. So when we follow Jesus and do what he commands, Satan does not stand a chance. That's right. You're looking at me funny. Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. God hedges us about, and when he hedges us about, the only time Satan can get through is when we fall into sin. And I'm learning that as long as I can stay out of sin, and you're saying, you can't stay out of sin. Well, I beg to differ. Romans chapter 8, Paul says sin should not have dominion. Now, I ain't the smartest in the world, but my dominion is 83.6. I ain't the smartest in the world. That's my dominion. You ain't got no say-so over it. And so when my dominion belongs to the Lord, guess what? Satan can't touch me unless he finds me in sin. See, in order for you to really allow him to do what he's able to do, it first and foremost requires you to surrender your will. And that sometimes is the most difficult part. And I'm learning the only reason it's difficult is because you just don't want to do it. Amen. Amen. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line, because some of us will walk through muddy water, climb the highest mountain to get 50 cents. Amen. But see, when Jesus is in control, you don't worry about tomorrow. In order for you to really let go and let him, it requires total surrender. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. And then you got to learn to trust him and depend on him no matter what transpired. The disciples in this lesson text, they trusted him, but they really didn't depend on him because they really didn't know who he was. That's right. Same thing with us. I've learned you can be in this thing 30, 40, 50 years and really not know Jesus. Because you'll know Jesus, because Jesus says you'll know his disciples how? By the love they have for one another, by the concern they have for one another, by their level of commitment to me and their level of commitment to one another. And then he says, you can tell my servants, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse 24, this is how my servant acts. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledging of the truth, and they may escape the snares of the devil. Do you not know I found some of the biggest devils is right up in here? Not here. Now, don't y'all leave. Don't y'all leave here saying he called me a devil. But if you're a devil, how you doing, devil? But we need to understand a servant has a mindset. He has an attitude. And that mindset and attitude reflects Jesus Christ. And so you got to ask yourself a question. Am I like the disciples in the boat? They didn't really know who was on board. They know because of some of the miracles he did. They know by the feeding of the 5,000 that this was a unique man. They knew that he had to be for God, but they wasn't convinced that he was God. Amen. How about you and I? Are we really convinced that Jesus is the Son of God? And if we're really convinced that he's the Son of God and he's the author and finisher of our life, shouldn't our life be totally different?
Amen.
Yeah, you're quiet. Because this planet text here brings to life where we're really at as believers of the Most High God. See, the disciples trusted God to the degree. As long as the water wasn't in the boat, they trusted him. But when the water got in the boat, they became untrustworthy of him.
That's right.
Is that a word? I don't know yet. To the point, but they had sense enough to realize that if this is the Son of God, somebody need to wake him up. Oh, that's a message within itself. Somebody in the church need to wake up all the rest of the church. Amen, Walls. Somebody need to wake us up to get us to see that we've been majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors, and we're not doing nothing to seek and save the lost. Ooh, y'all quiet. But that's all right. I've already repented. You can help yourself. In this lesson text, the disciples here is willing to follow as long as it's comfortable. When danger arises, they have sense enough to wake up the masters of the sea. I want to encourage us and remind us to follow Jesus requires each and every one of us to understand our relationship with him. And when we really understand our relationship, nothing or no one can stop you or hinder you. I told my class this morning, as we were talking about being a Christian, I told them, you got to follow God and you can't look at everybody else. I've often wondered, you know, I'm not a horse enthusiastic, but I often wonder, why do you do this to the horse? Somebody help me out. Why do you do this to the horse? Or why do you put a hood over the horse's head? Y'all help me out. Help, y'all. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, you need some blinders. And some of y'all, sometimes we need a hood over our head so we can remain steadfast and unmoved. Church, I'm trying to be funny, but I'm trying to make a point at the same time. If you're going to really follow Jesus, there's some things you're going to have to do in order to follow him. You got to trust him. You got to depend on him. And when he falls asleep in your life, have sense enough to wake him up. And when you wake him up, guess what? He'll give you everything you need. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart. I like the translation that says, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. See, in order for us to really understand who we're following, we got to walk by the same rules. We got to mind the same thing. And then we got to understand who we are in the process of doing that. And the only way you're going to learn how to do that is you got to exercise yourself daily with the Word of God. That's right. It's not enough to just read the word. It's not enough to go from Genesis to Revelation and say, I've read the Bible. No, it's some application that has to be applied. Amen. In order for you to really understand who you are. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's not enough to just say I'm a child of God. Practice what you preach. You expect me to do it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me have a bud in my hand. This bud or this oh, yes, let me have one in my hand and condemnation will come my way. But you need to understand something. My service to God is not based upon a bud. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't go home and say the preacher drinking now. I didn't say that. He's smoking now. I didn't say that. But you need to understand something. My relationship to God is based upon his word. And therefore, my relationship is manifested in my everyday life. I do some things I know good and well folks don't like. See Jesus. Don't see me, see Jesus. As long as I'm not in sin, you see Jesus. Why? He made me. I'm following his book. And Paul said, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And church, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not, because in the final analysis, I got to stand before God. I'm going to give an account if I lead you astray. And if I'm going to lead you astray, I'm going to lead you astray so I can have everything I need on this time satellite because I know I'm hell bound. I know that. And so I'm going to live my life the way he commands. In order, in our lesson text, Jesus here shows the disciples that the power of God is in him. And that because they believe in him and trust him, he has the power to overcome many of the obstacles that they're facing in their everyday life. Jesus here shows that the power of God rests upon God himself, and God gives us the same power to overcome many of the obstacles. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't try to walk on water unless it's frozen, okay? You might be in trouble. But I want to show you that the power of God rests upon God, but because we have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ and we are members of his body, God gives us certain things to help us. He gives us the Holy Spirit, but we have taken the Spirit and just put him in a box. And you know why we want to put him in a box? Because the Spirit is going to bear record who you really are. That's right, Romans chapter 8, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. So if his Spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit and the world can't see God in you, guess what? Might not be in you. I want to show you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. We know what that means, don't we? Go to work and don't work. You might not have a job, huh? Go to work and try to skate by with a cup of coffee breaks. Somebody gonna tell you, you can't do that. Huh? We understand that, don't we? Do we understand that in this Christian walk, we must be diligent in walking for Jesus Christ? We must be diligent in what we do for him? You can't drop in when you want to. You can't do your thing. You got to really understand that if I'm going to make heaven my home, I must be diligent in my Christian walk. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Peter here reminds us that we must be diligent in our Christian walk. Verse number 4 says, whereby given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, but that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you, see, it's not enough to have it in you. I know a whole lot of folks that love the Lord. Where they at? Huh? Where they at? I know a whole lot of folks that say they'll be there for you. But when the rubber meets the road, where they at? Y'all quiet. I'm just asking a question. He says in verse number 7, and godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the disciples was willing to follow, but they really didn't know who was on board. The disciples was willing to follow, but when the storms of life got so overpowering, somebody in the group had sense enough to go wake up Jesus. That's the message. The message is that when the storms of life become so bearable, are you willing to wake up Jesus? Point one, number one, Jesus is on board in our lives if you wake him up. He's on board if you wake him up. Point number two, he's on board. Maybe, maybe, if you know how to wake him up. And finally, let's not be like the disciples. He's on board, but we really don't know who's on board. You ever went into your house and found somebody there? Or if you find somebody there, what's the first thing out your mouth? Who are you? You ever asked yourself in your Christian walk, who's really in me? Church, I'm learning that when you understand who Jesus is, we will not be like the disciples. Verse 27 says, but the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? Church, I don't know about you. That's who I serve. I serve a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. I serve a God that when I do what he commands, he just makes my path just as straight. I told the young folks this morning, that's how life is. Very few people go in a straight line. Even those of us who have obeyed from the heart of the body and are Christians, sometimes we go like this. But the question is, when I go like this, do I recognize which way I need to go to get back on the right track? Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Hope and pray that you will have a great day. But in the process, remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm learning that I can rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm learning that every day he wakes me up, I'm going to give him the glory and the honor that's due him. And I'm going to live my life for him, whether anyone else decides to do the same. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.